Thanks, Lourdes, and I appreciate the invitation. Actually, there's been four of these. I think this is the first one I've been officially invited to, but that's okay, because actually these are like really, I think these sort of interactions that this presenter has put together is really what we're striving for and part of this. And also want to thank the organizers, and specifically Civ and the Fields Institute. It's really, not only is it a nice physical environment, I think intellectually it really captures what we're trying to do here and some of the things that they've been have ongoing in here. So as Lourdes and Vito said, I'm going to try to sort of give a in my discussion, and I put the I put the picture of the not a good one, but Niagara Falls up there, because I appreciate when it didn't go on the field trip to Niagara Falls and showed up, and I hear it's raining there too. So anyway, and I didn't show bias here. This is the Canadian Falls, not the American side. But anyway, what I'd like to do today is not take too much time, because really I'm not going to be presenting obviously a scientific talk here, but what I want to try to do is put in perspective what we're trying to do, the problems that we face in cancer research nowadays, and some of the challenges and some of the approaches that we've had, and then also talk a little bit about the ICBP, the Integrative Cancer Biology Program, which is really the NCI's premier effort in trying to encompass systems biology and modeling of, in the area of cancer research. Then talk a little bit of perfunctory, as whenever a program staff gets in the area, that, you know, talk a little bit about funding, some funding issues too. And I won't disclose the person, but there is another program official in the room from NCI, so I'll let it go. He'll identify himself later. But anyway, let me get started here. So I think, obviously, I think everyone's in this room, and at some of the various seminars that we've heard over the last couple of days, is because we all appreciate the challenge and the problem in cancer research and the impact it has on our society. We've seen decreases in a number of difficult diseases over time, and cancer still has remained an elusive disease and maintaining a large impact, not both within the United States, but internationally also. And I think this is due to a number of causes, not just the disease, the complexity of the disease itself, but and these are a little bit, numbers are a little bit old, but I think they still sort of hold, where we're seeing the number of deaths of cancer due to cancer come down. We've also seen the number of reported cancer incidents, though it had a little bit of a dip there a couple of years ago, is starting to increase again now. So we're seeing an increase in the incidence of cancer. And this is caused by a number of issues. I think that is going to compound the problem that we have in cancer research, and is also going to signify why we need sort of other approaches to this. So obviously we've had some number of successes in treating cancer, and that's been good. And so we have a new class of survivors of cancer. And this is a patient population that is at a higher risk for recurrence of cancer. And as we all know, the population is aging. So again, if we see cancer as a disease of age, then we're going to see more higher incidence of cancer as the population demographics change. So our cancer dilemma is that we have more cured patients, so there's more high-risk patients. The population aging, as I said about the changing demographics, there's a new biological insights and new concerns that we haven't had to face before in terms of some of the designs of some of our approaches. Cancer itself, it goes through a number of state changes in terms of between the normal and transformed. And we've used a lot of old research models where we've looked primarily at for lack of a better word, a reductionist approach, where we've looked at one gene, one cell, trying to identify that. And though we've had success, and I think this is reflected probably in success in some of in the recent years with some very targeted therapies, some of the best known therapies that we've seen, with probably the best example of success is probably Gleevec. Still, we're starting to see a number of publications where we're seeing resistance to those patients, and the number of patients that are impacted by some of these targeted therapies is really not at the level that we would appreciate. But not only that, I mean, we appreciate it, but it's at a level where we still understand that there are other things going on within that cancer that we don't understand and how to directly address that. So I think the challenge itself starts at the basic biology. where, and I know a number have seen this figure, but I just wanted to sort of highlight the fact of the various components that have to go into cancer, both in terms of being defective and being normal, that we see, and all these come together in a certain aspect, in certain stages of the disease as it progresses. And it's really a disease that we see both temporally and spatially a change over time. So we know it's a disease that genes are involved. We know that there's complex signaling networks that interact, and we've appreciated the fact of the environment where the tumor develops and progresses. And this environment can be both at the level of the cellular environment and also at a lot larger environment. And if you think about the immune system and the response, and then obviously environmental factors. Disease progresses over time. We see we have recurrences, and this actually changes. I mean, this can change the whole dynamics of the disease, and we have to have appreciation for perhaps we're looking at different diseases as it goes over time, and of course the histological variation of disease where we may be looking at liver cancer as opposed to brain cancer, and obviously there's different things for considerations there. So, and I don't want to forget where I got this definition of systems biology, but obviously systems biology has been something that has become into vogue lately in the last few years. And it's really taking a, if you will, looking at relationships among all the elements of a system, in this case a biological system such as cancer and that, and trying to, by taking an understanding of those, getting the emergent properties that develop from that sort of understanding. And if one sort of takes that sort of definition and twists it around in terms of cancer, it's really the result of relationships between these normal elements in the body in response to genetic and environmental perturbations. And if we can understand the system that shows these emergent properties of the disease, and then we'll be able to sort of then better sort of treat that. And that's really what we're sort of, the approach that we've taken in the Integrative Cancer Biology Program. As I said, this is the program of the NCI started some 4 years ago, and where we've taken both a systems biology approach where we're trying to look at the components that make up the disease through the various scales, and then coupling that with computational modeling, and which is trying to be able to sort of take a lot of the information that's being generated using modeling systems to try to understand then and make predictions of some of the processes that occur within cancer. And we're not just sort of looking at the holy grail of modeling where we'll be able to sort of say from model every component of cancer. We're sort of realistic in the sense that we may have to do this in a modular way, being able to describe different functions of cancer, apoptosis, cell migration, cell signaling, and that. But is this interaction of these components that we've involved in the Integrative Cancer Biology Program? Now, I know I've shown this slide, and people have seen this a lot in terms of the role of modeling. And I guess, to a certain extent, on the heels of the other previous meeting and this meeting, it's preaching to the choir. But really, cancer modeling and mathematical modeling has really had a difficult time, I think, in acceptance in mainstream cancer biology research. And I think modeling itself has sort of obviously has been sort of part of cancer research for a long time, being biological, where if you're looking at in vitro systems or in cell systems, we use biological modeling. And I think the strength in this, of mathematical modeling has really not been appreciated at the level of for some of the experimentalists and some of the other mainstream. Well, mainstream is probably not the word, but some of the efforts that are currently ongoing in cancer biology. And I think this is a list that I constructed, and I sort of looked it back over it last night. And I said, well, I should have changed some things here. But anyway, I generated this in terms of some of the challenges and promises from in silico cancer modeling. And I think both some aspects of being able to sort of integrate a lot of data across, I won't go through this whole list, but integrate a lot of data together in terms of both in trying to overcome some of the efforts in terms of scalability and diversity of multi-scale modeling, which I think we had some hope in terms of the modularity that we've seen in some of the models and being able to sort of integrate those things. I think, you know, and some of the criticisms that I hear constantly in terms of the complexity of modeling, the complexity of biology that can never be modeled, but I think what's important in terms of the modeling is the iteration process and the refinement process and the integration of the modeling with the biology. And that's one thing I wanted to sort of emphasize and we could probably argue over a number of these as we go along, but I think it's, I was trying to capture some of the arguments that are made and some of the benefits that can be promised through mathematical modeling when it's integrated with the biology. And so, as I said, the primary one I think we want to do, or at least the philosophy within the integrative cancer biology program, is iterative nature, where we, and Vito mentioned about the integration between the experimentalists and the modelers in terms of being able to take biological and clinical data, generate the model, make a prediction, test it, whether it's clinical or basic, a testing environment, understand those results, and then refine that model so that we have this iterative process where we eventually will have a model that can be predictive or in a sense, generating hypothesis for experimentalists and biologists to understand and pursue. So what are the goals of the ICBP program? I said the Integrative Cancer Biology Program. Well, it's to develop an integrated approach to the understanding of cancer through the development of these multidisciplinary teams. And I can't emphasize that enough in terms of, and I think, the center at Vanderbilt has epitomized that in terms of bringing in the diverse community to work on basic cancer biology problems. And we also have challenged them to create predictive in silico models to aid in the understanding and management of cancer. And also to integrate and explore the multidimensionality of large omic data sets. The NCI has invested a lot of money in and you've probably heard about a number of large scale programs to generate a lot of information and our data, the Tumor Genome Atlas, the Clinical Proteomics Program, EDRN, and all these are generating a lot of information, and we really aren't in a position to really handle or at least to sort of completely utilize a lot of that data that's being generated. So the hopes is that in generating some of the approaches and some of the tools that are being generated in the ICBP, we'll be able to sort of be able to more aptly use that sort of information that was being generated. And then lastly, I think as Lord has mentioned, as this workshop attests to, is really as an effort in an emerging field, if you will, we're really trying to enrich the community through efforts as sort of this is outreach community, and a number of centers have similar programs. But I will say that the Vanderbilt Center has really been one of the leaders in terms of these types of programs, and we're really appreciative of that. Lord has already showed the nine centers that we initially funded in that, and I'll just say in terms of the program itself, it's coming up for its renewal now, and we're very enthusiastic about getting this program renewed for another 5 years. We'll have an open competition in a year, about 6 months now. There's a number of this. I just wanted to highlight the fact that this is really, truly is an integrative with multi-disciplined approaches, and this is just a quick breakdown of some of the key investigators in this program. I'm just showing the interaction there between those, and I guess in the hopes of interaction. It's been both an interesting sociological as well as a scientific challenge in terms of bringing those communities together. And this is just a breakdown of some of the groups that we have, and showing the spectrum by design, I think in this early on, where the spectrum of both the biology that we're trying to address, anything from looking at epigenetics of signaling and genetic interactions, network analysis, on through more developed sort of looking at microenvironment interactions and progression, angiogenesis. So with a variety of modeling approaches. And I use the term modeling here very liberally in a sense, because this is by design early on, because while we have some stochastic and deterministic models that are involved in a lot of this. A lot of these are statistical analysis too that we have used for making predictions in terms of some of the progress. So we've sort of in this initial phase have been very open in terms of trying to bring these communities together. These are just some examples of some of the work that's showing the scales that we've been trying to bridge among some of the groups, and I'm sure you'll hear some about this at least from Vito's group later. The ICBP, or the Integrative Cancer Biology Program, also works in the environment of a number of programs within the NCI. And I apologize for all these acronyms here that are listed up here. And I don't even think I could identify all of these at this point in time. But the point being is that, and again, and this is my own centricism here, showing the ICBP at the center, and this is by no means the scale of funding. I see a big would cover half the thing there. But it's trying to emphasize the fact that we really, and this is almost a, I show this slide a lot of times internally also, because it's really the challenge that we have within the NCI to integrate a number of these programs better. But the emphasis is really showing where we're bringing in both the clinical and technology and information that's being generated to try to address some of the concerns. And this is just a brief advertisement for the CA Big program, which I know many of you, but it's really been a Herculean effort within the NCI to establish an infrastructure for exchange of information. It started out within the 60 cancer centers, but it's expanding more throughout the research community in terms of exchanging, as I said, exchanging information. This is a list of some of our recent activities we've had within the ICBP. We have meetings twice a year. Many times those are held jointly with other big programs that are related to the goals of the ICBP. As I said, we've had a number of training sessions that we sponsored and other meetings. We've also recently had some interactions with the European community, trying to engage the EU in some of this work in systems biology. And so there's hopefully going to be some exchange programs with Europe as we go along. This is our website you can go to for, obviously it's an outdated, I hope, picture of the website that's been kept up pretty well, of the website to go to for additional interaction. And so let me just sort of end here with a little bit of information about funding, which I constantly, so NIH, so we are in Canada, and NIH has no real bar on research outside the U.S. It used to even be a higher, used to have to get reviewed, and there used to be restrictions on the number of years and the amount of money in grants afforded to outside the U.S., but now there is really no bar on research outside the U.S. The primary research that gets funded at NCI is investigator-initiated. That means that it's research that is selected from the outside of a project and is submitted. And you can look at the specific opportunities that are always at this website here. And as I said, we always accept investigator-initiated research. And some of you may have heard this would be our primary currency is the R01 grant, which is an investigator. And collaborations are good. I would encourage anyone to communicate with the programmatic scientific staff before you submit anything, because it's always good to have that sort of a connection early on. The NCI and the NIH, for that matter, has instituted a number of specific programs to enhance these sort of interactions that I've been talking about. They recently sponsored a multiple PI initiative. This is really a change in mechanism where we're going to get, and it's in its full implementation plan now, where you can submit grants jointly with another investigator, and both will get credit for that. It was always sort of a problem in the past with funding, where someone would collaborate with somebody else and they wouldn't get credit. So this has been a change. And anyone who knows the NIH, which is a very conservative institution, this took a lot to get this change. We have within the NCI, we have a number of programs in terms of looking for supplemental. That the APRC is a supplemental program linked to other research programs, and we're working on the current ones for linked R01s with the that should be coming out in the next few months. This will be a program announcement with review, and that's to encourage research for anyone to collaborate with key personnel of anyone within the integrative cancer biology program. So, and it's not just the investigators in this room, but it's we're going to have a link to it, and there'll be a number of investigators. So it's to encourage research with some of the ICBP groups to come in as a collaborative effort. So Where do I see the future of cancer research? I think, obviously, I'm biased to a certain extent. It's obviously going to be through efforts, as we've heard about and will hear about, integration of a number of the disciplines to leverage both the efforts and the strengths. Dr. Niebuhr, who is the director of the NCI, has recently really been pushing and come to a realization that the problem of cancer is really, to a certain extent, is so difficult that we really need the input from the mathematical and physical sciences, and he's sponsored a number of workshops recently to address that. And so this is something that he feels very strongly in. We're going to need the integration of institutes like here at the Fields, and a number of other institutes have sort of implemented similar, where they've brought together the disciplines. And believe me, one of the challenges has also been at the NIH, too, in terms of how we sort of, and we realize this in terms of how we review these types of grants and grant applications in this sort of environment, and training will also be included. And so I think in the integration of thinking now, where we've this balance between individual versus team science, always, and looking for new approaches and ideas, and I think that's it. So anyway, thank you.